5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the darkness on the edge of town. We are coming to you this evening. For those of you that still may not know this, a friend of our radio show, Mr. Peter James, who's a world-renowned psychic and medium, passed away on July 31st, this last Monday. And he was scheduled to appear with us at the Queen Mary event that'll be coming up in December. And just so for all of you that are asking me, we are not going to be doing a live seance at the event to try to contact Peter James. We're not going to ask people to channel Peter James. You know, the man has done his deed. If he wants to contact us, he'll show up on EVPs or video, I'm sure. But we're not going to evoke the spirit of Peter James at the event. So please stop asking me about it. But tonight we're going to make it our show's about psychics and mediums. For the first hour, we're going to talk about psychics and mediums, things to watch out for, tips. We're going to get some tips from the experts themselves, some of the biggest names out there in the field. We've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We've got Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. We've got coming up in the later part of the first hour, Chip Coffey and psychic medium Karen Reese will join us. So we're going to talk to these four, and then Tim and I will be talking as well. And if you have points that you'd like to throw in, you can feel free to come into the chat room and private message either Tim and I, and we'll bring them up on the air. Or you can email Tim at Darkness Radio with any advice or questions, thoughts, experiences that you've had, and we can see what the experts' thoughts are on that. But again, we'd just like to mention for anybody that did not know that Peter James did pass away this last Monday, and it's been a very sad week for us here. He's a great guy. We was really looking forward to meeting him. We had the chance to have him on the show last year. We're going to be playing part of that show this evening. After our first hour, we're going to play the interview, a portion of the interview that we did with Peter James last year, the first hour. And then if you're interested in more of an interview with Peter, you can go to our archives page, excuse me, and hear the entire interview there, which was a two-hour interview that we did with Peter James. But we wanted to just kind of play the first hour, which really kind of talked about him and his growing up and how he found out about his abilities. So stick with us. Now, we do quite a few events, as you know, with darknessevents.com, where we go to haunted locations and we bring, professional, if you will, ghost hunters. We only call them professional because they appear on TV. We've got Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. John Oliver is going to join us at the Stanley Hotel. I do want to make a mention about the Stanley Hotel retreat. Tickets went on sale last Sunday night at midnight. And we only have 200 tickets available for the event. We sold out already 100 of those tickets. So in the first week of sales, we've already half sold out. So if you're interested in attending, please get through. You can order your tickets at darknessevents.com. We have a great lineup for you. As I mentioned, Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns and John Oliver from the TV show Haunting Evidence. We also have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who will be doing a great talk on psychic protection and spiritual protection while doing paranormal investigations. Bill Murphy will be on hand to talk to us about the paranormal. We've also got Mark Macy and J. Allen Danilek. Tim and I will be there. It's going to be a great time, and I look forward to having you out there. Chip Coffee and Tiffany Johnson will be there offering psychic readings and mediumship readings for you as well. And that's kind of why Tim and I wanted to do tonight's show. A lot of people ask us about the psychics and mediums that we bring on our events, and how do we know who's real and who's not? Well, first I want to say this, and I know Chip is in our chat room right now and can attest to this. At no time do we vouch for the abilities of the people that we bring with, in the sense of saying that, you know, we know them to be 100% accurate at all times. I believe this field is as it is, you can turn it on and turn it off at times. You know, sometimes it works great. Sometimes the transmission may not come through so clearly. I try to deal with psychics and mediums that have a good reputation in the field. People that have good personalities, are very light and bubbly, good sense of humor, and are pleasant to be around. That's what we look for to have them at our event. And we will switch out and bring in different psychics and mediums so that you get a chance to meet a wide variety of people at these events. Right now we're working very closely with Chip Coffee and Tiffany Johnson, and Reese Christian is going to be joining us here on, I believe, the Queen Mary event. So we're going to be bringing in different speakers like that as we go along. But what do we look for? How do we know who to trust, who's good, who's not? You know, a lot of what impresses me about a psychic is when I do readings, I'm easy to find out information on. I ask them to go out and I'll throw them a curveball and say, well, if we're going to have you at our event or we're going to have you on the show, I need you to do a reading, but it's not for me. I'm not going to tell you who it's for or how they know me or how they're related to me and blah, blah, blah. And then I usually set them up to do a reading. And if they impress the person that I send them to, who is usually a skeptic, then I'm a lot more willing to do it. Plus, we record the sessions and then I listen back to see if there's inaccuracies that people are maybe clinging to. And we'll bring Chris Fleming on the line with us right now to kind of talk about that. Now, Chris, your psychic ability and the abilities that you have, you noticed from a very early age, and it's been with you your whole life. When people are looking for psychics and mediums, I mean, you know that there's a lot of really bad people out there giving a bad name to your field.
Yeah.
How do you believe that there are people like yourself who believe that they have, how do I say this? I don't want to put that in the same vein because I don't want to make it sound like I think you're delusional, but you know that you had these things happen to you as a child. You know that they've gone on. Have you met people that also say that to you, but then they're not tuned into anything when they're trying to do readings? And how do we separate, you know, somebody's conviction from actual skill and ability?
Well, first off, you know, I've never really liked the term psychic. Even though sometimes I use it, it just becomes such a staple, I guess, in this world. But I just don't like the word psychic. It's more of, you know, medium I don't mind. You know, and sensitive is one that I prefer because I tend to be sensitive to things around me, emotions, feelings, images, thoughts, and everything, you know, that some come true and some are premonitions further into the future. But when you take a look at, you know, me growing up and the experiences I had, dreams that came true, reality experiences where they're happening right at that moment, something's going to occur, and I tell somebody, you know, get out of the way or watch out or this and that, and then something occurs. You know, there's many different types of, you know, if you want to use premonitions, that could occur. There's people out there that will say, well, I've had this happen, I've had that happen. You know, it's even for me, it's hard to go by what I just say. I like to have collective experiences where people get to experience it with me. You know, and if I say something and document it and then it happens later, then, hey, that validates it. But there are people out there that, you know, might think things happen to them and they don't. They might say these things happen and they do these things and they don't. You know, how do we measure it? You know, it's really difficult. How do you know for sure? For myself, you know, I like to write stuff down in a journal and then look back on it. I like to tell people. You know, I like to people to test me using scientific equipment, using certain software programs and devices. You know, I like, because I want to validate it for myself. Uh-huh. I don't want people just to take my word for it. I want to know for sure, because sometimes, like you said earlier, delusional and crazy, sometimes I've just shaken my head and closed my eyes and think, oh my, why? You know, why am I having these dreams? Why am I having these thoughts? Why do these things come true? I wish they didn't. You know, I put my head down and cried after certain things have occurred and I had a dream about it or a premonition about it a couple weeks later. Like, I don't want to know some of these things. But we can get into so many different topics tonight and try to figure out why these things happen. We may never fully know. We may never fully understand. But there are people that have these experiences. Some people share it with the public. Some of them keep it private and don't tell anyone.
Of the people that are out there, I need to know real quick, Chris, on your opinion, of the people that are out there, now it seems since John Edwards' show crossing over that they're crawling out of the woodwork with the claims and abilities that are out there. You know, what is your personal belief of all of the people you've come across that claim to be a psychic or a medium? How much do you feel is legitimate, and how many do you feel are fakes that are cold reading people and taking advantage of people?
Well, when we were doing Dead Famous, we had a lot of different psychics on the show. You know, a few of them, I would say they're not real. You know, I would say that. I wasn't pleased with what they did or what they said. It made no sense to me. You know, but who am I to judge? Because I'm sure that some people say the same things about me. You know, people said to me, well, do you believe in psychics? And it's funny when, you know, I'm a sensitive and I'm a medium and you ask me that question. I would say probably about anywhere from 15 to 20%, and this is such a rough estimate, are real. There could be 80% out there that aren't real. I have no way to prove that. I have no way to disprove that. But from what I've seen, you know, growing up as a kid, when I used to go to some of these psychics and stuff, you know, because I want them to tell me about my experiences with ghosts. And I can tell you, 75% of the time, 80% of the time, I was very disappointed because they didn't tell me something I didn't already know. And for one, if they're psychic and sensitive, then how come they can't pick up on all the spirits and the ghosts that are around me and all the experiences I had as a kid and that I'm sensitive and psychic or a medium, whatever you want to call it? How come they can't pick up on that? So that always bothered me growing up, going, well, I don't think that person's psychic. And I freaked out some of these so-called psychics, and I would tell them things about themselves and start telling them about ghosts and this and stuff on the other side, and they'd freak out. I'm like, why would you freak out if you're supposed to be a psychic?
Right.
So I can totally understand why some people get upset and why some people say, oh, there's no such thing as this and that, because sometimes, you know, there's some people out there that make a bad name for us. But I have met quite a few people, too. And some of them I consider my friends now that are very good at what they do with their abilities. They are very in touch with these energies. They're very in touch with these thoughts and stuff that they get, and they learn how to control them as well as, you know, figure them out. And to me, that's amazing. I've learned from some of these people, and I think we've both kind of shared our experiences.
Well, Chris, let me ask you real quick, too. You were on a show that was based out of England, although most of the episodes were filmed here. One of the most famous psychics out of England, of course, is Derek Acora from the show Most Haunted. Yeah. And Derek has run into some problems, especially with the couple of fake names and things that were thrown.
Yeah, I heard all about that, yeah.
Now, having been a part of that yourself, I mean, you know, in that field and being on television, is there pressure to have something happen? Do you think that he's more a victim of production needing something exciting to happen? Or
of course.
Could it be that because so many people involved were thinking about this fake name, wanting him to come up with it, is that why he came up with these names? I mean, what takes do you have, or do you think that he's as big a fraud as so many people claim he is?
Well, two things. It was interesting because when we did Dead Famous, we were actually owned by the same company that owned Most Haunted, but we were a completely different production company. You know, and I heard a lot of things about Most Haunted, and I used to watch the show, and I'd be like, well, how are they doing it? How are they doing this? But then I never really saw any concrete evidence. I never saw EVPs. I never saw any photographs or strange anomalies. It was very rare that you ever saw any of that, so I was skeptical because when I do my stuff, I try to get those things to validate what I'm getting. But, you know, I've never met Derek Acora, so I can't speak from him personally. I've never been around him, never sensed his energy or anything like that. I would not understand why anybody would, you know, make something like that up, do that in front of so many different viewers. It's like, if you don't get something, you don't get something. If you walk into a house and you're like, you know what, I'm not with it today, I'm not picking anything up, then you don't pick anything up. But the thing is, you know, from what I've seen is, especially with their TV, their channel, not their channel, their program becoming so popular, so successful, is it's like they had to produce. They felt that they had to produce. And is that because, therefore, that Derek felt that he must produce stuff, even if he wasn't picking up on anything or not? I don't know. You know, is he really psychic? I don't know.
Did you feel the pressure to produce when you did Dead Famous? Did you feel
I'll tell you. There were times where the producer and director, especially this one director, was like, Chris, we got to get some. I go, listen, how many times have I told you that you cannot tell ghosts to just show up and appear? It's not going to happen. She goes, well, we haven't gotten anything. I go, then we haven't gotten anything, so don't use this location. Because we used to go to 3 to 4 different locations for each episode, and there were times you never even saw that location on the show because we didn't get anything. And there's a couple episodes where we go to a couple places and we get nothing, and that happens. But did I feel pressure? I felt more pressure for myself, getting upset at myself because I wasn't tuning into anything. You know, at that aspect, I'd get upset. But I, like I told the director and producer, I said, I will never fake anything. And we did a live episode that aired 3 nights live from L.A. that went to Europe. And they're like, Chris, you got to get something. I said, I'm not getting anything. It's like I felt like I was, like everybody hated me on the set because I wasn't producing. And I wasn't producing because there was nothing there.
So but now on a few of those shows, now that puts you in a position where, you know, I've seen some of those clips and everything, but other mediums or purported psychics did pick up something. How do you account for if you're a psychic, and you mentioned it earlier when you had your concerns, how can they pick it up and you weren't able to? What do you attest to that?
Well, there's some things that I have noticed in working with some psychics is that they can be tuned into a different thing than I am. Like, for example, I can pick up emotions really well from spirits and place memory, and some psychics I work with don't pick up place memory at all. So you got to remember, everybody has ability, and it might be slightly different than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be able to pick up on a male, and I'm not picking up on a male, I'm picking up on a female. You know, that can happen because that entity is trying to contact them, and that other entity is trying to contact me. That can happen. But what can also happen is that, and was interesting, in some of the psychics I've worked with, especially this one woman named Linda, is we were on the ball. Both of us were picking up the same thing every single time, and I thought that was so cool because that was confirmation for me, confirmation for her. Yes, there were some psychics that I had no idea where the hell they're pulling this stuff out of. You know, but does that mean that they're not? How do I verify it? How do I validate it? But there were a few psychics, and I'm not going to mention any names at this time, that I just shake my head and I was appalled. I was appalled because I knew damn well there was nothing there.
Do you feel that it's in your line of work, though? Do you feel that it's tantamount to treason to the people like yourself that you know, claim to be doing the good work, that you should out these people? Do you ever feel like you should take a stand and say, hey, Marsha Brady's a big fake, you know, you know, this, I've watched her do this, and this is how I know she's faked it.
I thought of that, Dave, you know, and I even almost did that on a live episode, you know, and I said something to Gail about it, and I'm just, the thing is I'm not the type of person that wants to hurt anybody, and even though I don't approve, and I wasn't very happy, and I was actually disgusted and very upset because I felt I was living in a different world, that some of that stuff does go on. But
well, I understand not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings, but if they're frauding other people, right?
Yeah, but I'm a heavy believer in karma, and I believe that these people, especially this one particular person, individual, will get their karma, and they're going to get their karma. And it's not my job to play God and not my job to judge as well as to crucify them.
But might it have been your job to have been karma? Maybe it was your job to step in and say, hey, this is BS. This woman is faking this.
No,
this shouldn't be done.
I know, because I think that person's starting to get their karma now.
Okay. All right. So now, Tim, we just have to look for some well-known psychic that just goes totally in the crapper. And then we'll know who is crossing Chris Fleming.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm going to write about it in one of my books that I'm working on. Okay. You know, it's just, but the thing is God, I just don't like to criticize and judge people because you never know. And this one individual I do believe does have some abilities. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I do, because I know she said, well, I shouldn't even say it, but this individual said a few things that were very unique. And I was like, wow. But this individual, like possibly the same thing that happened to Derek Acora, felt that, well, I have to produce every single time.
Gotcha, in order to remain in the public eye.
Yes, and because they felt, because the camera's rolling, for me to get my paycheck, I have to produce.
All right, Chris, I got one more minute here with you, and then we've got to go to Rosemary and a break. But let me ask you, with TV shows like Ghost Hunters and Dead Famous and Most Haunted, and the paranormal coming out of the closet, if you will, and psychics now being more prevalent, do you think that it's become a dangerous time for people to fall victim to fake psychics and mediums?
No, let's think of the opposite. Let's not be negative, let's be positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it now is a responsibility for these shows to evolve further and be very responsible for what they say and what they do. I mean, like when I did Dead Famous, I had no control over the editing. I had no control of them taking stuff out and splicing stuff together. I had no control of the sensationalism that they tried to create, making it scary and freaky, and Gail's right. always freaked out. You know, I had no control of that. You know, but I was able to accomplish many interesting things and go to some most haunted places in America and come up with some great evidence to support, as well as learn about certain things doing it, like, you know, orbs or dust and that type of stuff, which in the beginning of the season, we didn't know that. But as we went on, we investigated further and found out, you know what, a lot of this stuff is dust. And that happens the more you do it. So now I think we're getting to a point where paranormal programming has to be responsible. I mean, have respect for yourself. Have respect for everyone out there, and definitely be responsible for what you say and do on the program, because once it's recorded, it's always going to be there for people to criticize.
Good point. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for joining us in this first segment. And Rosemary, stick with us. We've got her on hold. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by author and sensitive Rosemary Ellen Guiley. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo-hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, my silent but deadly partner, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
I am a gaseous one, yes.
No, that's not what I meant. You're just silent but quick on the... You're like a ninja board operator over there, Tim, running the board. Thank you very much for your work here. Our next guest we have up is author and sensitive Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's a lecturer. If you haven't had a chance to come out to one of our events and see her, I recommend just coming out to see Rosemary. Is probably one of the more popular speakers that we have at each event. If you can't attend one of our events, check her website at visionaryliving.com. And there you can find her list of upcoming scheduled events to go see her as well. And also we want to thank Chris Fleming for joining us in the first part of the show. And for more information on Chris and for personal readings and working with Chris, you can check out his website at unknownmag.com. I've got an email question here from the board, Rosemary, and this is kind of getting to the nuts and bolts of things. Belle, Kristen from our boards, says she's never been to a medium, but she's gone to several people who claim to be psychics, and she's found that none of them are accurate so far. How does a person really know who's reputable as a psychic before they go to them? You know, or have you ever gone to a person and found out that they're just not accurate? How do you deal with that?
Well, it's a subjective search, Dave, and of course I've been on both sides of the fence because I've given readings as well as gotten readings. Someone can give a really good reading for one person, be very tuned into them, and you know, just be hitting on all cylinders, and then not perform very well for another person. And that person then feels, well, that psychic isn't very good because I didn't get anything useful or very accurate. Sometimes it's a matter of how well you can tune into someone. I don't do readings anymore. I did them quite a bit for a number of years, and they, as most psychics will tell you, they take up a lot of energy. And I do use psychic impressions in my work. I don't call myself a psychic or a sensitive. When I investigate, I use my psychic abilities, but I don't go in primarily as a psychic. But a lot of times when I was giving readings, I would know right off the bat whether a reading was going to go well or was going to be a difficult reading. And sometimes I just wouldn't be able to tune in very well to a person. I think there are a lot of factors involved. It could be how you're feeling physically. A person brings something into a reading. They bring emotions.
But doesn't it, for the skeptic, though, Rosemary, for the skeptic, and I know that you're skeptical of things as well, you don't, just because you're Queen Paranormal here, does it mean that you fall like a sheep into believing everything that's presented to you? But
that's
as a skeptic, isn't that just as easy to say, well, I'm just a lot, you know, this person wears their emotions on their sleeve for a cold reading a lot better than I would, and I'm cold and closed off to, you know, I'm making sure not to give them any more information than a yes, no, or I don't know. Whereas a lot of people vomit up a lot of private information that they don't realize is spun right back to them in a psychic or medium reading that can, you know, lead them through the questions. I mean, do you think that as a skeptic that that's something you have to be leery of? Is how do you differentiate between the fact that it was just this person? Tim is very easy to read because he sits there and nods through the whole reading and, oh, yeah, yeah. And Dave sits there with his arms folded, looking straight ahead and just giving yes or no answers like he's, you know, trying to go through a lie detector test. Do you think that as a skeptic that that's more, you know?
If you're trying to evaluate the skill of a psychic, yes, the less you say and the less you give away, the better you are able to judge the ability of someone to read you. And it's true that many people do give away a lot in body language, in answering questions and volunteering things, and that's why some readers can get by doing cold readings. You know, they're really doing sort of half fishing. Maybe they've got some ability, and then they do a lot of fishing, and they come up with a reading that, you know, accommodates somebody. I've always looked at a reading as not something that should tell a person what to do, but help a person make more informed choices. People have readings because they're usually in dilemmas. They want guidance. They want direction. I think it's a mistake to put a responsibility on a psychic that you're going to tell me what to do so my life is going to be better. I've always told people that a reading is an examination of forces in motion toward probable outcomes. And maybe they get validation for how they're already intuitively feeling. I think people usually know the answers to their own questions. They just don't want to acknowledge it. But a good psychic will tell you things that they probably shouldn't know, information about you, about people around you, things that have happened to you. And this is clairvoyance. This is tuning into somebody's energy field and acquiring information about them that you wouldn't know otherwise. And it varies from reader to reader. I've had readings where people have come up with some amazing things that they shouldn't know about me, and other readings with people who have been very well billed and highly recommended. And I felt that I got kind of a mediocre reading from them. So was it me or the forces or the circumstances? It gets very hard to make calls unless you go back to somebody repeatedly. If you really want to see how good a person is, I think that you have to visit them several times and get a sense from all of the readings together rather than just one. But sometimes if people have a bad reading, they don't go back.
Let me ask you about this. Now, that's something that concerns me. And I've, you know, I stayed away from it. I was very close with a medium that I knew here who, you know, I let do a few readings, and then I started to question not that medium's ability, but the fact that their knowledge of me became too in-depth from repeated visits. That, how do I know? I know you're saying go several times, but, you know, I can learn more about you every time we speak, Rosemary, so that I can make judgment calls on your personality and I can see flaws or weaknesses that I can pick at. Maybe not even consciously. I'm not saying that all these people are out there to literally screw you, but you know what I'm saying? You pick up on these little things, and all of a sudden I notice that you're a lot more awkward when we talk about your Uncle Jerry. And now I can develop on that more. only because I've talked to you 14 times. How do I know that it's, you know, between psychic and just picking up on a person's vibe when you're talking to them, don't you think that people can get too much, what's the word I'm looking for here? I mean, do you follow where I'm going with this?
Yeah, familiarity, and absolutely. The more you know somebody personally, the harder it is to read for them. I've always found it very hard to read for good friends and family. Much easier
because
to
do
read
you begin questioning yourself?
Well, because you don't want to have your personal knowledge color what you might be getting psychically.
Okay.
And so you have to keep the two separate. I always told people, don't come back for a reading any oftener than every 3 months, and ideally, you know, maybe not even that often, because a lot of people develop dependencies on readers, and they start to rely too much on having other people tell them what to do. But with a gap of time between readings of several months, I think you're sort of going to go cold on a person, and I don't mean in terms of a cold reading, but things will be happening to somebody that you're not close to, that you wouldn't be privy to, so you've still got that objectivity going.
Tim says we have a question from one of the people on the board. Go ahead, Tim.
Rosemary from Andrew on the board. He wants to know exactly how can you tell if a psychic is using cold reading with you and if they are really sensing things, the difference between the two. And do you feel that some psychics need to cold read at first in order to kind of get in tune to their subject?
It's certainly possible that someone might use a little bit of cold reading in the beginning. I think everybody sort of has their own technique. And, for example, I used a combination of things. I used clairvoyance, reading the aura, psychometry, holding something, and I'd augment things with the tarot, and I get a lot of just mental impressions that I would talk about. So everybody's got kind of their own technique for sort of greasing the wheels or lubing up. If someone fishes for feedback a lot, I mean, naturally you want to feel like you're on course with somebody, so it's reasonable to ask periodically, in a reading, do you have any questions? Does anything not make sense to you? But if someone is always saying, is this right, is that right, they're doing a little more fishing than they really should be doing. Throwing things out like if someone says that they're mediumistic and they're not very good at getting names, they kind of fish around on the names, or they kind of switch gears easily. Oh, well, it's not this. Well, it could be that. If they throw out like...
So if they're trying to shove the round peg into the square hole for you.
Exactly. Okay. Or they throw out several possibilities. It could be this, it could be that, it could be this. You've got a multiple choice reading, not a psychic reading.
There are so many, as you mentioned, there are so many people that are becoming dependent on psychics and mediums. I just watched this Twilight Zone episode the other day with William Shatner, where he's sitting at the table with the little gypsy machine and he sticks a quarter in and asks a question, and he won't even leave the table or cross the street unless he gets the okay from this machine. How dangerous do you think it is to become dependent? Is it something that is happening a lot more, and would you liken it to something like an alcoholism or a drug addiction or gambling problem? Do you think that there are people that are that deeply involved with their psychics and mediums?
Well, speaking from my own experience, when I was doing a lot of readings, just a small number of people I thought were too dependent on readings. I could often tell by the kinds of business that people came with, that I was probably one in a long string of readers that they had consulted about the same sort of thing. They were looking for someone to tell them what they wanted to hear rather than what the situation really was. Or if someone wanted to book appointments with me too frequently, that would be a bad sign as well. But these people seem to be in a very small minority, fortunately, for the overall number of people who came for readings. It's very easy, however, to fall into that kind of crutch. I think that people do have to be aware of that a reading is something that helps you gain a clearer perspective on choices that you're looking to make. It's not infallible guidance. It's not something that you should rely on. but just something to help you get a better balance, a better perspective. I think psychic readings are very useful every now and then. They can validate your own intuition. A lot of people have trouble accepting their own intuition, and that's a polite word for being psychic. And sometimes people just need to kind of clear some of the obstructions going on around their decision making so that they can do something.
Well, you alluded to a little bit earlier. If I can ask real quick, you had alluded to a little bit earlier about people asking questions about the, usually they want to know about love or finances or work. Do you think that's where the danger lies in going to a psychic? If you're asking them questions of the heart, questions of finances and questions of jobs, do you believe that it's usually you could get those answers yourself? You don't need to, send $500 to Miss Cleo to burn a special candle for you to save your soul and get the jinx off of you. Because it just seems to me so much of it is common sense, and people are just looking for grandpa to come through and tell her you're going to find somebody better than just hearing it from their, their best friend who's still alive or your psychologist.
I do believe that people can get their own answers, and a lot of times we don't listen because we've got the shoulds and the ought tos going on in our heads, or we've got guilt trips going. It's easier to hear something from an outside source, validate. And I'm separating here a psychic reading from a mediumistic reading, because some people will go to mediums specifically because they want to contact dead loved ones. They just want the connection. They want some sort of indication that someone's okay, that they have survived physical death, whereas a psychic reading, from my perspective, would be more like getting guidance for making a decision. And usually I think people already, if they can look clearly into their own intuitive guidance, deep down inside they really know what the answer is. They're looking for validation, or maybe even hoping that what they know to be true really isn't true. I saw that a lot in relationships where people were in very destructive relationships that they wished would be different and hoped to hear that it could be or would be different, when all the signs were pointing in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rosemary, I appreciate you spending time with us this evening. We had to move on to Chip Coffee, who's waiting on the line with us as well. I appreciate it. And again, for anybody that would like more information on Rosemary, or if you have questions, concerns, or if you're interested in reading some of the best paranormal books and literature out there, please pick up anything by Rosemary Ellen Guiley. You can check out her website at visionaryliving.com. Again, that's visionaryliving.com. Our guest was Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We were just talking a little bit, Rosemary had led up to mediumistic and being able to communicate with loved ones that have passed on. And our next guest is Chip Coffee with us. And Chip has quickly established himself at our events as probably one of the premier mediums to be working there. I've had, quite a few experiences with other mediums and psychics at events, and he is always the one that I get the highest praise and the highest compliments for. And I'm not here to give him a little pat on the back and stroke his ego for the show, but I do want to give, recognition where recognition is due. And Chip, when people are coming to you, the thing that I found most odd when I first interviewed you was the fact that so many psychics had told me, don't let them give me too much information. Tell them up front, I don't want to know names. I don't want to know. I want to do this work. And when I talked to you, you said, BS, Dave, let's cut through the crap. Tell me who you want to connect with. Let me focus on that person and bring them in. And you went you went totally against the rules that I had been told of what to expect from a psychic and a medium. But the results stood on their own. The person didn't tell you, I want to connect with my love of my life, Ashley, and we love to go on Lover's Lane and walk and listen to Terry Jack's Season in the Sun album, and it wasn't all this vomit of information. You would say, tell me who, and they would say, I want to connect with Ashley, and you'd go, okay, bam, and then you'd launch into it and you'd come up with specifics for people. And I kind of allude to the fact that one of our listeners that you talked to had lost a loved one and was still sitting in his car listening to a song over and over that reminded him of this woman, and you suddenly came back to him to validate what's going on and everything. To me, that was insane, because you flew against what we're told to believe and what we shouldn't do when we're with a psychic, but yet you were getting quicker, faster, more solid results with people by just telling me, let's not jerk each other around here. I don't want to spend 15 minutes fishing. Tell me who you want to talk to, and I'll get you there. And you did it. Now, when you're doing that, Chip, how are you able to, I mean, is it just plugging into the right slot like the old phone operator machines? I tell you I want to talk to my grandmother. You push the plug into grandma and you're talking to her. And then maybe grandpa, who's a more prominent figure and was more boisterous in life, will step aside because now he knows, too, this is who I want to talk to.
I think that unlike some other mediums, what I try to do is not cast the net so wide. I try to narrow my focus. I'll always ask my clients when they come to me wanting a crossing over style reading three questions. Tell me the first name of the person that you want to contact. Tell me what the relationship with that person was. It could be father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, whatever. And then tell me how long it's been since they passed away. That's the three things that I ask when someone sits down with me. I ask for that because let's not screw around. You know, let's not be Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost and have 30 people step up in line for open mic night.
Right.
Let's go after that one person that in your heart and in your soul you really want to talk to. And I think I've narrowed my focus down like that because my poor mom, who died almost 9 years ago in just a few days, I've wanted to hear from her when I've gone to mediums myself for years. And invariably, my dad and my aunt come through to mediums who are casting the wide net, and I very rarely hear from my mom. So I want to be able to give those people who come to me and pay their hard-earned money, I want to be able to give them the person that they want to talk to.
Why can't you plug into your mom?
I think Rosemary said it best. It's hard to read for yourself. And coincidentally, I'll tell you this. I have heard my mom speak to me. I have felt my mom's presence around me. And earlier on this week, for the first time ever, I'm out mowing my grass, and I see my mom standing by the fence.
Maybe it was because it was the first time ever you were mowing your grass.
It was probably that she was saying, it's about time you got out there and cut that hay field.
You know what, Chip? We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with Chip Coffee, and Karen Reese will be joining us as well. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. We'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves.
Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at Taps Paramag.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout, neighbor three. Hit your pitch to zero. Pitch is out again. Hold altitude. Direction, alpha hold is off. Trip selector is emergency. Flight calm, I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking...
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Force, run! Run, Force!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Welcome back to the show. Remember to stay with us for hour two. We're going to be paying honor to Mr. Peter James, who is a world-renowned psychic and medium. You've seen him on over 40 episodes of TV shows like Sightings and Unsolved Mysteries. He passed away on Monday, July 31st, and we did an interview with him almost a year ago to the date, so we're going to be playing that interview with you for the second hour, so please stick with us. Right now, though, we've got medium-sensitive psychic Chip Coffee on the line with us. Chip, I have a question here from Don on our lines and wants to know, she had two different psychics that totally begin to tear up when they speak to her. They say it's nothing, it's just normal. Could that mean that there's really a connection and that they're really reading that person?
I know that I've had information that's come through to me that's been so personal and so sensitive and profound for the person that it's made me tear up also. So if I'm sensing the emotion that's involved, not only from the person I'm reading from, but from the spirit that's coming through to me, absolutely, there have been times when I've cried right along with my client.
There are a lot of people crawling out of the woodwork, as I alluded to when I talked to Chris and to Rosemary, that are doing the psychic medium John Edward thing now.
Yep.
What should people watch out for? What can people do to protect themselves so that they don't fall victim to people that are scam artists?
I think there's a short laundry list of things that people can do to prevent being taken to the cleaners by fakes and frauds and shams. I think the first thing you can do is check out the website of the person. Do they have a known presence? Read their credentials. Learn their history. You'll look at their testimonials. Yes, all that stuff can be faked. Another thing you can do is, if that happens, ask a trusted family member or a friend for a referral. You know, if you feel comfortable enough to do that with a family member or friend, you might have seen a psychic. But probably the best thing that you can do is shop for your psychic the way that you'd shop for your doctor or your dentist or your hair cutter. And by that, you can do that very simply. You can just do a brief session with a psychic. Take them at their shortest session. If they give 15 or 30-minute sessions, take that session. And if you feel a connection with the psychic and they're telling you things that they could not otherwise have known, this is a psychic or a medium. That's the key. If they give you information that they cannot get from a cold reading, information that is so personal and so profound, I call it that aha moment. If you get an aha or an oh my God moment during a reading, then that psychic is the one for you.
Shay from the boards wants to know from you, Chip, is it better to have readings from people you know or from someone that's a complete stranger? And should you have to feel some kind of connection with the person doing the reading?
I think that you have to feel a connection with anybody in life to develop any sort of a rapport or an energy flow with them. But I almost always find that the more I get to know people, the more I can't trust that I'm not reading in what I want for them or my own personal goals or desires and relying on information that I know with my five human senses. I would prefer to read for someone that I don't have a close relationship or a lot of knowledge about because I don't want my reading to be tainted. But one of the things that I try to do also is there's a psychic and a medium whose name is John Holland. And he says, he has a term that he uses that is less of me, more of spirit, if you're working in the psychic or the mediumistic realm. You can't shut off your five human senses. That's a fact. You just can't. But if you constantly say, and that's a mantra before I go into my readings, less of me, more of spirit, less of me, more of spirit. And I try to turn off as much as I can that human part of me and turn on that part of me that is extrasensory.
Okay. Now, I've got to know, too, Chip, doing the readings that you do, seeing the things that are going on out there, do you feel the need to, should there be a regulatory board for mediums and psychics? Because there are so many people out there that claim to have this ability and are scam artists. If you come across them, should you, as a person in this field that's respected, should it be your job to blow the whistle on these people so that they're not taking advantage of others? Or would you hold off because you're afraid they're going to then go on the attack and destroy your reputation?
Well, I have, I've been attacked by other psychics and mediums, no doubt, and it's one of those things that there's a lot of animosity and backbiting and negativity among psychics and mediums, even the ones that are at the top of the heap. I don't know if there's ever going to be a regulatory board until we've got some more parameters until there's a training session or a governing board or a regulating board. It would be great if there was one.
So you would be for it if there was a regulatory board that could actually certify mediums and psychics.
Absolutely.
To make sure that it's a legitimate business and it's not somebody just running a scam.
Absolutely. If there was some way to certify or test or do something to credential people within this field, absolutely. Wouldn't that be a fantastic thing? Then you could, you know, if you are certified, you could feel some sense of confidence as a client that you are going to someone who is reputable.
Well, Chip, if you could do us a favor, we got to move on to our next guest, Karen Reese. But, Chip, if you could do us a favor, I know you're great at doing your blogs at MySpace, and I'll put up a link to it. If you would be willing to do a blog for us about what to do, how to look for psychics that are trustworthy, things to avoid, maybe ways to tune in better, what you can do for yourself if you're going to go for reading to have it be a more effective reading. I think people would really enjoy that, and you have such a great way of writing and such a good personality. I'd love to see something like that from you.
Well, thank you for everything you've said tonight, Dave. I really appreciate that. And you don't know how much that meant for you to say that. It was really wonderful to hear. Thank you, sir.
No problem, Chip. And thank you. And for anybody interested in more information from Chip Coffey, if you'd like to get a reading or to talk with Chip or see him at our events or see him at any other events, you can check out his website at chipcoffey.com. That's C-H-I-P-C-O-F-F-E-Y. Now joining us on the lines from the East Coast, we've got psychic sensitive medium Karen Reese. And Karen, thank you very much for coming on and spending some time with us this evening.
Oh, I just appreciate you having me on. I love being on your show and absolutely adore you, David.
Well, thank you, Karen. We want to try to get to the bottom with this. I mean, we're not going to be able to hash anything out in an hour to get people the definitive answers. We're trying to find a show and a way to help people understand when they're seeking help from psychics and mediums. Let me ask your advice on this. If I'm a lovelorn person who wants to know if I'm going to meet the right person or if I'm going to get the job or if I'm doing this, should I go to a psychic or medium or should I just go to a good psychiatrist?
That's a fully loaded question, depending on the personality. Well, you could do both, but I'll tell you, you have free will. You can always make your own choices in life. That's what free will is all about. What a psychic will do for you is, you know, come up with your options. If you keep doing what you're doing, this is what you can expect. So that can give you an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Do I want to make a change? Do I like the probable outcome, what this psychic's telling me? So in that particular instance, a psychic's a good tool to use to say, what are the vibrations? What am I putting out now? What can I expect? And if you feel that you're on the right course or you're going in the right direction or you like what the psychic is telling you, that's fantastic. If, on the other hand, you feel that that's not really what you want, you know, you can make a change. You can maybe seek some, you know, professional help or what have you to get you, you know, to where you want to go.
Well, you know, Karen, one thing that I found interesting doing the events that we do and attending other events like UNIVCon and the South Coast Paranormal Conference and different conferences across the United States, I've noticed that a lot of people that'll do a gallery reading, the self-proclaimed psychics and mediums, a lot of time to me it looks like nothing more than common sense. You know, I'm getting an older man, I'm getting this, and all of a sudden there's one person left standing, and you know, it's this overweight woman with greasy hair, no makeup on, and she's staring at the floor, and grandpa's telling me you have self-esteem issues. Oh yeah, oh my god. You know, I mean, grandpa didn't need to tell her that. Everybody in the room is looking at an overweight woman with greasy hair who can't look anybody in the eye. It's pretty content. You know, pretty easy to say this woman has self-esteem issues. And then, grandpa, you want to know something about relationships. Are you going to be alone? Is this right? Yeah. Oh, my God. How much of what you see in this field do you think is nothing more than just sage advice being given from somebody who's sensitive and caring and compassionate, maybe not psychic or mediumistic, but more empathetic than anything?
You know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. In fact, I just originated the National Psychic Guild, where we are credentialing psychics and mediums for that reason. I would estimate that 90% of what's out there really is nothing more than people either pushing their own opinions on what they feel you should do. Their intention may be well-meaning, but that's not a psychic reading. When I read, I always validate something. In the course of the reading, I might say, hey, you know, David, your birthday's May 19th, or hey, David, your grandfather's here, and you keep saying the name Lucille, and he's alluding to the fact that this is your grandmother, and you might say, oh, my God, yes, my birthday's in May, or yes, you know, that is my grandmother, so on and so forth. To me, that's a validation when you can get that type of connection when you're getting a reading. Then anything else going forward is a good indication that it's truly psychic. The problem is, and you just mentioned that, is too often too many people come in and they want to dole out counseling sessions. You know, they're not really tuning in. They're not tapping the energy. You know, what is the past? What is the present? What is the future? Is there somebody dead here? You know, anybody can take a look at somebody and size it up. Just like it's very easy where there's a big distinction. All mediums are psychics, as I tell people. Mediumship is like university level, and that's talking to people on the other side. But it also encompasses the psychic, which is past, present, and future activities and events in a person's life. Psychics, on the other hand, not all psychics are mediums. Psychics can range from elementary all the way up to like a high school level, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And all too often you'll see fake psychics saying, oh my God, there's all these people around you, Dave. Who do you want to talk to? Well, that's a phishing question. Or
right.
They can take a look at you. You know, so that's, unfortunately, as in any industry, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, there are always those people out there looking, you know, for targets.
How can people, we only have a minute left tonight, sure. Karen, and we'd like to have maybe more show on this topic itself. What can people do real quickly in about 30 seconds here? What can people do to protect themselves from bad psychics and mediums?
Use your own gut instinct and go by referrals.
Referrals. How do you get referrals? If I don't know anybody that's talked to this person, how do I get referrals from them?
That's a challenge. You really then want to talk to the psychic and get a feel for the psychic in terms of how they do their work. What kind of things do they do?
So you should look for a gut reaction to the person mm-hmm. that you're speaking to as a psychic to see if you feel that connection with that person.
And also pay attention in terms of the types of questions they ask. Do they provide you with phishing questions? You know, are they asking you phishing questions or are they giving you some, you know, hits right away?
Okay. Karen, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested?
Just the website, www.karenreese.com, KarynReece.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you for joining us this evening. And I also want to thank our other guests, Chip Coffey, Chris Fleming, and Rosemary Ellen Guiley for joining us this evening. We're not going to be able to wrap it up in 1 hour, ladies and gentlemen, as we've said. I wanted to get the ball rolling. If you have more questions, get them to us at tim or dave@darknessradio.com. We'll have more people on. We'll discuss this further and see if we can get to the bottom of it, find out more about psychics and mediums. Stay tuned for the second hour as we are going to replay an encore presentation of a interview that we did with Peter James, who passed away earlier this week. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And in memory of Peter James, hug somebody you love, let them know that you care, and make sure that you take care of it on this side before you have to go seek help from somebody else. We'll be back right after this.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.